Welcome to another edition of Unbox Innovation. I'm your host, Amy Shadroff. Today, we're talking about using interactive technologies such as gamification, virtual reality, and augmented reality, and how it can be used for learning and inclusion in the classroom. This is very, very cool stuff. I'm very excited about this conversation. And joining us to talk about this is Christine Hall. She is a training and development specialist with EOS Education by Boxlight. Hi, Christine.
Hi, it is so great to be here talking with you today.
Great to talk to you as well. First, I want to ask, what sparked your interest in using interactive technologies in education in the classroom for you?
Well, to be completely honest, when I was first jumping into technology within my own learning experience as a young learner, I was very much intimidated by technology. We had these large, clunky computers with the floppy disks, and I remember a teacher vividly waving a floppy disk at me and saying, "This is the future."
and so that piqued your interest.
Well, that it was very intimidating. But then I went to U of M and I took a class at U of M Dearborn, where there was an instructor there who showed me how to make learning more engaging and fun using technology. And from that, I've learned to discover ways that you can immerse learning for your students using technology. And from there, I've always tried to find ways to incorporate technology into learning experiences. So before I joined Boxlight, I taught first grade and fourth grade, and I was working for a Google school district. So I always amplify learning using Google applications within the classroom.
That's really what it's all about, is making it fun for the kids so they want to be there and they want to learn, right?
Absolutely, yes. So there's this great thing when it comes to gamification. There's a lot of reward systems that is going on. So, your brain is releasing dopamine, you're getting happy and excited because it's a pleasurable experience. So when you have that pleasurable experience, you want to come back, you want to return and play with that activity again. So that's the whole point of gamification, is to transition learning from, rote memory into something that's more evolved, that engages learners beyond just, worksheets. So that we can create memorable learning experiences so that they can talk about the skills that they've developed and the rewards that they've gained and not just, lose interest in education within the classroom.
Let's sort of break down gamification, because it's one of those buzzwords that we do hear occasionally. And when I break it down, I hear game. So are these kids just playing video games, or is it more than that?
Well, it's more than that. We want to gamify the learning. So we're focusing specifically on learning to create with gamification. So we're creating a fun, dynamic learning experience, usually involving discovery. So there might be storytelling or an immersive experience involved, but it does have those gamification elements. So there's achievable goals, there's learning streaks, and there's celebrations that can be had. So the best gamified learning experiences are going to have action. They're going to have objectives. You want to achieve a goal and you know what goal you're achieving. Teachers already do this in some ways. Before you start your lesson, you go over the objectives or the I can statements with your students. So you have a common goal. That creates socialization. That's the next thing that I could break down when it comes to what creates a beneficial learning experience. You're either competing with others, maybe you're monitoring how your friends are doing or how you are doing compared to your past, skill or tests, or maybe you're working collaboratively towards a common goal with your friends or classmates. There's the celebration aspect. The storytelling or the immersion, maybe you're role-playing specific elements or play. And then finally, there's creativity. So we want to customize the learning for each student. So by gamifying, we're connecting the learning to each student by finding their interests and building off of those interests to support learning.
So what Johnny is doing one afternoon is not going to be the exact same thing that Sally's doing, and she may be sitting right next to him, correct?
Exactly. And sometimes the entire class might be involved in the story, but they might have a different role. So as long as they're collaborating and finding a purpose, that's really when you know gamifying the learning is working for instruction.
Are they collecting points and then you said competing against each other and maybe getting a classroom prize if, you know, they get to 100,000 points before somebody else or something like that?
I think that's the very most common way gamification is working within the classroom that we've seen. Even in my own experience within the classroom, you know, you get that positive reward system for following positive behaviors. And then sometimes even if you do a negative behavior, they'll take away points. But I think gamification is even evolving further than that, where you're doing an investigation or an inquiry to find the result together. So it's learning beyond just the celebration of points, but working towards a common goal with your classmates.
Are there any downsides to this at all?
There can be downsides. There can absolutely be downsides to gamification. In some cases, students may focus or become, too obsessed with learning points or gathering the badges. And so then the learning itself gets a little bit lost. They might focus too much on the goals and the awards, and then go home talking about the awards more than what the skills they've learned that day are. So we want to make sure that students are reflecting on the skills they've developed and not necessarily on the stars they gain. So some students may enjoy the game mechanics, but it's really important to focus on what the interest is and build off of the interest to amplify gaming beyond just a reward system with stars and points. So by connecting it to their interests and their learning, you can really make it more immersive and give them a deeper reward than just a stars and points.
I know you have used this in your own teaching. How did you find it worked? And can you give me a specific lesson or specific example?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we think about gamifying learning, you think a bit about immersing a student with maybe technology, because a lot of our games come from computers, or maybe we're playing on our phones. And so that's a non-immersive reality. So I used a lot of that within my classroom. At the maybe beginning of a lesson or at the end of a unit, I would bring in technology to reinforce the skills. So some of my favorite ones that I created were inquiry-based learning experiences online. I created websites for my students. So specifically, they were, you could consider them like digital escape rooms, but I made them focused specifically on student interest. And at the time, I had a classroom that was very much into superheroes. So, and because I work in Arizona, it was the Arizona Avengers. And I photoshopped some really terrible images of, you know, Arizona animals with the Avengers. And then they asked the students to support them in learning about these animals and how the animals have super, well, not necessarily super, but ways to defend themselves. And how could we turn that into a super defense for the superhero? The kids jumped in there immediately.
I'm sure. They ate it up.
Yeah, so there was no star system, no reward, no celebration when it came to this gamifying learning. But what happened was that they were completely immersed in the role play and the story of the game. And they all came out with really wonderful presentations to share with each other about what their new superpower would be if they had the technology to maybe turn, you know, a badger superpower into something that humans could have.
So it sounds like once you have this technology in your classroom, the teacher can, I mean, the sky is really the limit, right? The teacher can do any kind of lesson they want to, because it sounded like you created your own superhero lesson.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And a lot of these lessons already are pre-existing on the web. So if you don't necessarily have time to find something that's effective, maybe it's not the summertime where you can dive in and create, you know, there might be something that is already available on the web.
Let's move now and talk about virtual reality and augmented reality, because this is, it seems like it's the latest and greatest thing to be happening in the classroom. Can you tell us the difference first between virtual reality and augmented reality?
Absolutely. So by incorporating gamification elements, you can, you know, motivate your students, and you can also use gamification with VR and AR. So what is virtual reality? Well, it's intended to isolate you from the physical world and immerse you completely into a computer-generated environment. This environment can reflect our real world, or it can completely be a new imaginary world. There are different types of virtual realities. There's non-immersive, which is what I had mentioned earlier, where you're using your computer or your phone. There's also very much immersive reality, where you're using digital tools to contribute to making a digital environment that's completely different. So you know, you have your hands hooked up to a device, you have a headset, and maybe you even have earphones in. So all of your senses are completely taken into a immersive virtual world. Augmented reality, on the other hand, overlays virtual objects onto your physical environment. So there might be like a camera that's taking in the real world and then overlaying an immersive object.
So that's not so much the real world, augmented.
Yeah, so augmented, a great example of augmented is, you might put your glasses on and you can still see the park that you're sitting in, but you might have, you know, your personal computer applications up floating, right next to the dog in the dog park.
How many school districts or classrooms do you think are using this type of augmented or virtual reality right now?
You know, this is an emerging tool. I do not think that many schools are using it. I know that it's really becoming very much popular in countries such as China, but I would love to see it more popularized in America in our schools here that we have. But I believe that it's up and coming, and we'll probably see more of it as time goes on.
It sounds like it can be an expensive proposition for school districts, because I would imagine you would need a headset for each child in the classroom, and that could get pricey.
Yeah, so there are some downsides to VR or AR glasses, which are usually the same tool right now. So there is the cost of the headset and the sensors if you're thinking about virtual reality. Another downside is if you want maybe lighter glasses or a lighter headset for your younger learners, that can become more costly and more expensive as well. Right now, everything's really heavy because there's these optical lenses that help you, see the virtual reality environment, but they're very heavy. So, think back to our clunky computers. Hopefully over time, they'll get smaller and more agile for all of our different, different learners from kindergarten all the way up to high school level.
Can you describe how a particular VR project or lesson would work?
You know, I was reflecting on this, and there's so many ways to utilize VR in the classroom. I think right now it's heavily focused on science, where you have maybe an experiment going on and you're interacting with the tools that you might not have within the classroom. But you can go beyond this in so many ways. For example, you could use it for virtual classroom field trips to either somewhere local that students might visit or somewhere that students might never be able to see or visit in their lifetime.
Like a museum somewhere overseas, yeah. Or this could have been used during COVID. It would have been very, very good during COVID.
Absolutely. Or even let's think about maybe being next to a volcano when it's erupting, or maybe the solar system. So there's so many places that you can take yourself within virtual reality beyond just simulating, you know, science experiments.
And this is just, you said, on the cusp and just starting. What if a teacher wants to get involved in this and is listening to this podcast and says, oh, this sounds so exciting. I want to get involved and start this in my classroom. How would you go about even doing that?
Absolutely. I think teachers know exactly where to start. Think about your standards. What are your objectives, and how do you want to use this tool to support that? From there, I would say it's time to start playing yourself. Jump in and utilize the tool and explore the features. And then from there, you can build your lesson.
And you can build a lesson the same way in virtual and augmented reality as you would in gamification. Does it work the same way?
Exactly. So gamification, you're thinking about how the tool can amplify play. You're going to do the same thing with your lenses, or your headset device. Specifically, how is it going to amplify the skills that you're trying to teach within the classroom, and amplify engagement?
Do you ever worry about all these kids are going to be running around the classroom now with their things on their faces and all these devices that they'll forget about interacting with each other?
Yeah, so that's kind of funny that you say that. That because with these glasses, the optics are pretty heavy. I would imagine students are sitting at their desks utilizing it, but that does create an isolation issue, where you're not going to necessarily be able to turn and talk with your elbow partner. But what how I would imagine maybe it would be used is, students would be able to see each other within the classroom, but the limits of maybe the chalkboard or the whiteboard or maybe your interactive display is eliminated. You have the boundary of the chalkboard where you can't draw above it, can't draw below it. But with VR, you can draw on top of anything within your space. So maybe the teacher, could have a student interact with, digital manipulatives with their headset and interact with the story or the lesson that's happening in front of the classroom while being in their seat. So what that does is it amplifies learning with accessibility. If you have a student with mobile impairments, they're still going to be interactive. They're still going to be able to jump in front of the classroom without physically moving their bodies. In addition, students who have visual impairments will be able to see better because they'll have the tools right in front of them or literally on their face to support learning.
I was just going to ask you about that. How about kids who have sensory issues? And would this be too much incoming for them? Or can the teacher make sure that they only have one sense that's being explored at one time?
Absolutely. So, there is that problem of motion sickness where if the device has a little bit of a lag, we can get a little bit sick. So there's some ways around that. You could have the VR at the front of the classroom projected, maybe on the projector or your interactive display, for example, and have the students interact that way. So they could come up to the classroom and interact with their hands and see the space instead of maybe having earphones in, you could have one in one ear and still be able to see, hear the teacher, or you could just have them completely out and the teacher could play the audio throughout the entire classroom. There are some tools that are created specifically for classroom learning where the teacher can control stopping or pausing the audio or the visuals for students. So if they're on their own journey, they can pause it. And then that way, if a teacher needs to give direction or if there is an emergency, students can hear.
I know we are just touching the surface of these topics because there's just so much to talk about. But what future trends do you see when it comes to gamification, VR, and AR in education?
Ideally, if it were up to me, if I could see it within 10 years, I think every teacher would get to live their dream of being Miss Frizzle, where you would be able to have your own magic school bus adventure anytime by allowing your students to put on these headsets and jump into any environment and begin exploring together. But if that's not the sense if that we want to go for, if we want to be more realistic, what I would love to see is improved see-through optic, where it's lighter and more adaptable for every classroom and every learner. I would love to see classrooms connect with each other. So, if you're sitting in one classroom with your VR headset, you could be in a completely different virtual environment talking to another student somewhere else. And then if I want to bring in artificial intelligence, I would love to see artificial intelligence with virtual reality to create a powerful education experience that's adaptive to each individual learner.
So you can really have kids learning about cultures all over the world with other kids in other countries.
Absolutely.
How do you envision these technologies advancing over the next 5 to 10 years beyond VR and AR? Do you, if you had a little crystal ball, what do you think it'll look like in the future?
You know, for me specifically in early childhood education, ideally what I would love to see is this move beyond, you know, the science focus or the STEM focus that it has and go also into literacy. I think that teachers have full classrooms of manipulatives that they're using to, support instruction. I think it'd be great if they could also have digital manipulatives to reinforce learning. And those digital manipulatives are great because you can keep them all in one place in the cloud and bring them back into education through these headsets. So when you have these headsets, you could remove the limitations of a classroom and completely immerse the lesson in front of the students. They don't necessarily have to worry about, you know, keeping the space within the boundaries of an interactive flat panel or a whiteboard. They can move, and create an adaptive learning experience for everybody in whatever environment they want to use.
And is this good for K through 12? Is this good for all grade levels, or is it better for some grades than others?
I think it's going to be great for everybody. I think it's going to be fantastic. I think that there's so many creative teachers who want more tools to support their learning, to create more storytelling, to create more games, to really immerse their students within the learning, get rid of those worksheets, and really create lifelong learners. And so this tool is a great way to support that. It's another tool that teachers can use to engage with learning in a different way.
How much extra time does it take for teachers who are already stretched thin, you know, to come up with lessons and dealing with parents and dealing with emails and kids that they now have to try to plan some interactive technologies?
It is a completely big challenge. I would say so. There's so many different, tools and management protocols that are going to be needed to be incorporated within the classroom. So I would recommend a teacher, reach out to a digital learning specialist or EOS Education by Boxlight is a professional development, branch of Boxlight. So we support teachers by showing them how to use immersive technology within the classroom. And it can be really helpful to have someone who has that experience jump in there and give you some quick tips that can support using a new tool for instruction.
What is the biggest fear that a teacher has when they start embracing this new technology? And you're a trainer, you go around and help these teachers. So what are you seeing most?
I think when you're using any type of technology, what you were hoping for is that you can use it and it's versatile and there's no problems. It's smooth sailing. The workflow is seamless. But I think what we have all learned, and you can't avoid it, is that there will always be problems and you'll always run into an issue when you're using technology, especially when you start. So what I would encourage, teachers to do is to share with their students that this is a new tool. It's going to, expose us to new experiences. Some of them are going to be positive. We might run into a bump in the road, but together we can collaborate and, jump over that bump and continue on the learning journey. We don't have to, focus on the errors that happen and just keep going because, everything is through trial and error and you can really expose yourself to problem solving and your students with problem solving by taking a risk and trying a new tool.
I would imagine the kids love this. They love to run around with the glasses on and to say, oh, I get to do gamification today. I get to play video games.
Yeah. Well, imagine, you come into a classroom and, there's toys everywhere and you don't know exactly what you're going to do with these toys. But that you're going to be able to collaborate with your classmates and your teachers to explore and experiment and discover. That's exactly what this is. It's a new way to discover and explore, except that instead of knowing what the object is, it's limitless.
Well, these interactive technologies are truly amazing. And like I said earlier, we have only touched the surface, but we do appreciate you joining us today and letting us know what gamification is and how it relates to virtual reality and augmented reality. We've learned so much already, which is the first step, right, Christine?
Absolutely.
Christine Hall, a training and development specialist with EOS Education by Boxlight. I'm your host, Amy Shawdroff. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.